Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Excuse me, sir, we normally don't leave the door open and let the homeless walk in. What's your name?
All right, that's enough. This has been the longest I have not been on.
I was gonna
2 weeks.
I thought it was three.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, because Christmas and New Year's,
yeah.
You know.
Did you enter our guest book and sign in?
Well, not yet, but
okay.
I will.
Okay.
Before I leave.
Did you have a good Christmas season?
Did. You know.
Now, you had 934 people there.
Well, not quite. But it people in and out, you know, revolving door, family, kids, grandkids.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, of course.
Doors left open.
And of course, a week ago, as you remember, January 1st, New Year's Day was big celebration because it was my birthday.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was listening to Trump on I think it was Fox and Friends that morning, and he said that, oh my goodness, I can't issue a tweet this morning because Dr. Turner doesn't like it.
Oh, anyway, you know, another birthday, and
you're
I know
sure
it's
old.
Just
sure old.
It's just another number. But
yeah, it is.
Man, that kind of hit me in the head.
Well, wait till next year, buckaroo.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
What are we going to talk about?
Okay, so I'm taking this from a book called Six Decades Back, and this is the guy I've told you about. His name is Charles Waldman.
Oh, yeah, he used to live over here.
Right, he lived at the City of Rocks and at the Rock Creek Station, and so this is a story out of his book, what he tells, that happened right here by us. And I'll talk about some of the places that we both know about.
Maybe we should step outside and see if he's still there.
It's windy and it's cold out there. Or not. So I'm going to step out on a limb and say, if anybody knows of a guy named George Goodhart, let me know. Because this is a story about this guy named Charles Goodhart. All right?
I've heard that name.
Okay. Well, there may be some relatives still around this area.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Anyway, so George had been camped at a place called Rattlesnake Stage Station.
Oh.
Now, for those of you who don't know, that's actually about 7 miles northeast of Mountain Home. So between us and Boise is Mountain Home, where they have the Air Force. And about 7 miles from there is where the stage station was.
Wouldn't that be on that highway that comes down into Mountain Home from Fairfield?
It could be, yeah. Northeast.
I think so, yeah.
And actually, that was originally Mountain Home, by the way. They actually moved. They had a stage station and a mail, so you get mail there.
I didn't know.
And they moved it down to where it is now, where Mountain Home is.
Really?
Yeah.
But
so,
that road coming in, I can't think of the highway number.
Yeah, from Fairfield over, I can't remember either.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so he'd been camped at the station for a couple of weeks, and one afternoon he saddled his horse and he rode to a construction camp of the Oregon Short Line Railroad, and he was going to get the mail that might be there for himself or those who lived at the station. Well, it had been several days since anyone had called for the mail, and there was quite a bundle of papers that had accumulated. So George divided them into two bundles and tied them to his saddle. Now, it was a considerable distance from the construction camp to Rattlesnake Station.
That's hard to say.
It is. So night came on before George reached camp. He stopped and was taking his bearings when he noticed one of the packages he'd been carrying was gone. Remember, he divided the mail between two bags, so one of them was gone. Now, he remembered having them both when he crossed a place called White Sage Gulch, and that was some 6 miles from the construction camp. Well, he'd intended going to Boise City on the following day, so he decided to kick out early the next morning, get the papers before breakfast, and still get a reasonable start to Boise. So he pretty well knew where he'd lost the mail. So daylight
was that a one-day trip?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think it was. Well, maybe not, because he had to double back. But anyway, daylight the next morning found George in the saddle. He found the papers near where he had crossed this White Sage Gulch. And near there, he found a horse trail that kind of interested him more than the papers.
Mm.
Now, this trail, this horse trail, had passed east crossing his trail of the night before. You know, that's going to come back on us, is it?
Oh, okay.
Now, George was an expert tracker. And you know how good some of those guys were. They were amazing.
Yeah.
But for some time since the Indians had stopped making trouble, he'd spent most of his time helping the civil authorities run down horse thieves and bad men who had come into the country with the railroad. And as George kind of leaned forward in his saddle and he's looking at these tracks. Now, this is amazing to me, Zeb. With his trained eyes, he found there were six horses with three riders, each rider leading a horse. I'm just amazed that he, number one, could figure out that there were six horses and that three of them were being ridden and the other three weren't.
I went to school with a guy that was an excellent tracker, and he could put his ear down on a railroad track and then look at you and say, train coming.
Train coming, yeah. Now, the other thing, he found that five of the horses were shod and one horse was not.
In the snow, he found all that.
No, this is in the summertime.
Oh, it was summertime.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
actually, that's almost tougher, I think.
Depending on the dirt. But anyway, George followed the trail for a little ways to find the general course that they had taken. He could see that the riders were acquainted with the country because they were avoiding the construction camps in their general course up the Snake River. Now, so he left the trail just, you know, kind of making a note in his mind. And he rode to the camp. He ate a good breakfast. Then he headed for Boise City, following the old stage road at the crossing of a place called Indian Creek. He found three men that were looking for horse thieves. Now, these guys, George didn't know these guys, and he asked them, about the horses and one thing and another. And they said, well, there's a man that's leading five horses that have been stolen.
Oh.
Okay, so right there, and George, he told them that the night before that some man had stolen some horses from the racetrack at Boise. Five had a very fine horses and a saddle. Now, there was quite a bit of money that had been offered by the owner for the return of the horses, and the sheriff had also added an additional sum for their capture. Now, these men that were hunting the horse thieves told George that they had scoured the country from Indian Creek to Boise City, but no signs had been found. And they felt sure that the thieves had left Boise, but from a different direction. Now, George, keep in mind, he's kind of a quiet guy, and he saw these tracks, and at this point, he thinks that these three thief hunters are probably the stupidest guys in the world, as far as trying to track the horse thieves. But he didn't say anything, and he said goodbye, and he moved on towards...
Well, he didn't tell him what he saw.
No. Because he didn't really know a lot yet. Okay?
I see.
So he's moving on towards Boise. He rode directly to the stable of the sheriff, because this is where he kept his horse when he was in town. Well, when the sheriff was aware of his presence, they asked his help in hunting the horse thief. Well, arrangements were made regarding the reward and the expenses, and George expressed himself as being confident that he could pick up the trail and overtake the thief. And still, they're thinking he's just one guy, okay? If he were given a fresh horse and a man as a deputy. So he just said, you know, give me a man, give me a fresh horse, and I'll try to find the thieves. So, anyway, his request was complied with, and he purchased some prepared food. The deputy that was to accompany him said he would not bother taking anything to eat because he was sure he would find some camp along the road where he could get something to eat.
Not a very smart guy.
Mistake number one.
Yeah.
Well, George and his deputy traveled east over the stage road. Now, this was the stage coach line that Ben Halliday owned at this time.
Which would have gone through where?
Well, all through this area.
No, but I mean, it would have gone where almost the interstate is.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, they traveled east over the road some distance out of Boise. And here they met three men, the three men that weren't too smart, that were trying to track the horse thieves. And these men were not sure that the stolen horses had left Boise at all, especially not going east. Well, George had not spoken a word to a soul about finding the trail that he'd found a couple of days previous. Now, the deputy expressed himself as thinking that he and George were looking in the wrong direction, but George said nothing. Well, when they traveled some distance, George said, quote, "Let us leave the stage road and get a little south, and I think we will strike their trail." Well, sure enough, it was only a short distance until he came across the trail. George counted the horses by their tracks for the deputy and pointed out that there were three men instead of one. Again, knowing, I mean, it's such a good tracker. Now, from this point, they continued to follow the trail of the stolen horses, stopping only to give their horses a little rest and
grass.
Now,
this is George and one other guy.
And the deputy, yeah, the volunteer. Now, the
what happened to the three dummies?
Well, they just, they're probably still out there looking. So, anyway, the trail, after striking, actually right down here by us, Deb, the Hagerman Valley.
No,
just
really?
A few miles west of us right here by the Snake River.
Oh, my.
So they followed the north bank of the Snake River Canyon and at Devil's Corral, you know where that is?
Yeah.
Over here just across from Twin Falls.
Yeah.
This is where they found where the horse, the thieves had stopped for a rest and water. Now, George felt sure that he'd gained some on them, but his horses were beginning to get a little tired. I mean, they'd been riding pretty hard, you know, for a couple of days now.
And the deputy didn't have any food.
He didn't have any food. I wonder if George shared, you know.
He had a Snickers.
Yeah. So a few hours' ride up the river brought them to a cattle ranch owned by a Mr. Shoddy. Now, Shoddy was one of the first ranchers over here between us and Burley, out in this area.
Yeah.
So,
isn't there a farm on the Snake River?
I think it was. I think that was part of his.
Yeah.
But anyway, so at Shoddy's ranch, they got some fresh horses. Now, the thieves had avoided the ranch and had not been seen by anybody at the ranch.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
So now with their fresh horses, George and his deputy rode to Stars Ferry. We know where that is. Just that's only a couple miles north of us right here where you live.
Yeah.
So, and just below the mouth of Goose Creek, where they found the thieves had crossed the river. Now, Mr. Starr informed George that there were three men, pretty rough-looking characters with the outfit, and Mr. Starr was sure that they were headed for Salt Lake. For some reason.
Wait a minute, I thought you said they went north across the river.
Okay, well, so they gave the impression.
Oh, the plot thickens.
To Mr. Starr that they were going to head south to, you know, to Salt Lake. Well, they had asked about the road to Albin. Okay, that's probably why he thought, oh, yeah, you guys are headed to Corinne, Utah and down that way. And they were only 7 or 8 hours ahead of George and his deputy, so not that far of a head start. Now, George felt sure that the thieves had kind of deceived Mr. Starr as to their intended destination. And as they traveled around the ferry, it was impossible to follow the tracks. He kind of lost their tracks for a little bit. But he found that the thieves had actually doubled back down the river on the south side. So now they're on the south side of the river.
Where would they have done that?
Okay, I'm going to say it's between us and Burley, right through this area.
Is there a low enough spot in the water?
Well, I'm thinking they're going to have to swim across because, you know.
They didn't have the dam then.
No, huh?
Okay.
No. So, anyway, so George went back to the ferry, got the deputy, and he said he knew they would overtake them in a few hours, and he told his deputy that he thought they were headed for Nevada, but would stop at the Rock Creek store some 25 miles west, where the thieves would feel that they were pretty much safe.
Are we going in a circle here?
We are, kind of.
Yeah.
So now they're back kind of west and south of us right here at Murtaugh. Well, George had some acquaintance with Mr. Stricker, that owned the Rock Creek Station. And George related that in all his experience with bad men, he had never been compelled to kill, but that by using tact and being ready to be the first at the trigger, he had made arrests without a shot. So George was a bounty hunter, you could say.
Really?
But he had never killed anybody in the course of tracking down outlaws. So anyway, with their fresh horses, they soon made Rock Creek store. They rode their horses into a long barn that was built to accommodate travelers.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And so George glanced at the horses in the barn, and he saw the five head of stolen
horses. Uh-oh, the plot thickens.
Yeah. Now, this part of the reward was sure, because they were going to get a reward if they got the horses.
Okay.
By the owner of the horses. But to capture the men might be a little different, and it was certain that they were in the store or the saloon, which was attached to the Rock Creek store. So, picture this. They leisurely went into the store, him and the deputy.
Yeah, the guy with no food.
He's hungry now. And I'm wondering if he took his badge off, too.
I don't know.
Okay. So they opened the saloon door, and there was kind of a scuffling of feet at the card tables, and there sat the three men that were wanted.
Okay, but now the three guys, the bad guys,
yeah,
didn't know George Wolgamott and the deputy.
No.
So they could have been
Now this is George, Goodhart.
Goodhart.
Yeah.
And so Goodhart and the deputy could have been anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. So they didn't know who they were. So George knew that his presence was not known until the opening of the door, and he could see that the three men were ready to draw and shoot.
So
they were on the alert.
Yeah.
But they still didn't know who he was.
All right?
So there was only one man in the saloon besides Mr. Stricker, okay, and the three horse thieves. So if you got this, you got the bartender, Mr. Stricker.
We've got a Clint Eastwood movie here.
Another guy standing there, and then the three thieves.
Yeah.
So here comes George and the deputy walking.
Josie Wales.
Yeah. So this man was named Tom Canavan. Now, George knew Canavan. He knew this guy. And he rapidly approached him and said, "Well, hello, Tom." He says, "We're on our way from Fort Hall to Tascora, and if Mr. Stricker will give us quarters, we will stop for the night." He says, "I have swallowed a peck of dust along the Oregon Trail, and I think we had better all have a little drink." Mr. Stricker stepped behind the bar and set up four glasses, including himself. They clinked glasses, drank the liquor, and George threw down a silver dollar in payment. Now, Mr. Stricker pushed the money back, saying, quote, "Travelers always have a drink coming on their arrival at the Rock Creek store."
Really?
So the plot's thickening a little bit.
Oh.
All right. So George took the money, kind of smacked his lips, and said, "Well, that tastes just like another. You gentlemen at the table, can you quit your game long enough to take a social drink with us?" Okay?
Yeah.
So they pushed their chairs back and carelessly came to the bar. And as quick as lightning, George drew his gun and demanded all hands up. And when the command was obeyed, the deputy disarmed the men, snapped the handcuffs on the wrist, and then they all had a drink to each other's health.
No kidding.
And
then the deputy left from McDonald's. He was hungry.
This guy was hungry.
So George Goodhart basically caught three guys all by himself.
Pretty much. I mean, the deputy was, just a footnote, really.
He was a Barney.
He was. I wonder if he even had one bullet.
I don't know.
In his pocket.
Oh. So they did what with them?
Well, they just took them back to Boise.
They went all the way back to Boise with them?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because that's where they were stolen. The horses were stolen.
And they took the horses back.
Yeah. And he might have got some help. Well, I guess here's where the deputy might have been a little bit of help. He could lead the stolen horses or whatever.
Yeah, but when you got three guys and you're going 150 miles.
Yeah.
And these guys have got to get off their horses every now and then. Nature calls, etc. You got to really be careful.
Yeah. I mean, did they even uncuff them?
I don't know.
You know, I.
Where did George get all the handcuffs?
Well, when the sheriff.
Or did they tie him up?
Well, it says handcuffs. So I'm thinking that the sheriff, when he left Boise, gave him handcuffs. You know, they thought it was only one thief, but really there were three. So I'm assuming he must have had two or three sets of handcuffs.
And I still can't help it, pardon me, but I'm worried about the Three Stooges. Whatever happened to them?
Well, I think they had to find other employment.
Because you know what? Anytime I go up in that area from now on and I see three riders a horseback, I'm going to stop and ask.
Have you found those?
Have you found them yet?
But, you know, these trackers were amazing. And, these guys, well, just for an example, if they saw there was a bird called the mud dauber, I think it's called, and if they saw a, if they were out in the middle of the desert, okay, and they saw a mud dauber flying with mud mud in its beak, they knew the bird was coming from water. If the bird was going another direction, didn't have any mud in its beak, they knew that he was headed for water. And so to try to find a place to get water out in the middle of nowhere, and then just so many other little things like the tracks, the and being able to tell how long.
Can you do that kind of stuff?
I have a hard time even seeing the bird, let alone.
Well, no, but I mean, the only time I can track anything is in the wintertime when it snows and somebody drives in my yard and I can come home and say, Dan, yep, somebody's been here.
Well, I tell you, my brother and I were my brother and I were elk hunting one year,
yeah,
over by Sun Valley, Ketchum, Bellevue area.
Yeah.
And we're on horseback. We went climbed up the mountain, went through some pretty rough brush, and by the time we got on top, my brother's gun was gone. He had it in the scabbard. His rifle was gone. And we thought, oh, dear, this, you know, we've got to backtrack.
Yeah.
So we went back to the bottom. We split up. And I did follow some tracks that were our horse tracks, but it was snowing. And I couldn't tell if it were elk or deer for sure or our horses. But
an elk took his gun.
It did. And anyway, as I was walking and climbing, going through brush and one thing another, I came into a clearing, and I knew that we'd gone across that clearing and gone out through some really heavy, dense brush on the other side. So I started climbing through that, and believe it or not, there in that heavy brush, I found the rifle.
You did find it?
Still in the scabbard, and yeah.
Oh,
so, I won't.
I'm going to refer to you as Daniel Boone.
I won't say my tracking ability was that good, but you know, well, the important thing was this was my dad's hunting rifle, and we didn't want to go home and face Dad and say, "Oh, by the way, Dad, your gun's up there somewhere."
Yeah, but let's go back to the story for a minute, though, because distances and miles. I mean, first of all, you're talking about coming over from basically like Bellevue area,
yeah,
going over the mountain and into Mountain Home area.
Yeah.
Then you're talking about going to Boise. Then you're talking about George Goodhart turned around with the deputy and met with the Three Stooges someplace and came all the way down to Minnetonka area.
Yes, that's
and
almost
made a big, big circle around there.
Yeah.
And then he came all the way over here to south of Hanson, caught the bad guys. I mean, we're not talking 150 miles.
No.
We're talking well over 225.
Well, then that's one way.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're, we got to say,
how long
anyway,
did it take him?
400 miles, 450 maybe.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, it really doesn't say how long it took because, you know, to go from here back to Boise, he had to take at least
and
3 days.
And the deputy is going to starve to death.
He's probably starting to chew on his gloves or something.
You know, people that go out in the wintertime or any time and they're not prepared for the elements, oh, well, we don't need to. I'll be back in a couple hours. That's stupid.
Well, I tell you what, living around here all these years, I always pack extra coat, coveralls, boots, and gloves in the back of my vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you never know when
you're going to find those Three Stooges that are still out there someplace.
Yeah.
You know, it really amazes me, though, that as populated as it is today, you know, I mean, look at the Minnetonka area over there by Stars Ferry and look at over here by Rock Creek Strickers and everything. And then let your mind wander back 150 years ago. Wow.
Yeah.
That's wide open country.
It is. And even just not getting lost.
Yeah, I'm not very good at directions.
And, you know, you get up into some of the thick of the trees, like up around the Island Park area.
Oh, my.
You know, and you got to know where you're headed to get through all those trees.
Yeah.
So,
if you got lost, can you, on a clear day with no clouds, no mountain ranges or anything, can you find all your directions?
You know, if I can see the sun, you know, hopefully I have it somewhat.
I didn't say it was sunny.
Oh. Well, you know, I think about the people on the sailing ships.
Oh, my.
You know, how did they know how to find an island like the Hawaiian Islands when they were sailing?
Well, like in Lonesome Dove, when old P.I. was leaving Gus and going to go back for help. I mean, well, it's that direction. That direction's a big direction.
Yeah.
You might miss the whole herd.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to me. But, you know, the, as they say, you know, the Indians followed the trails that the deer and the elk made.
Yeah.
The Indians followed those trails. The trappers followed their trails. And pretty soon you had people coming out, the miners, and they followed them.
And so we, of course, in our day and age, we really take a risk and we follow the interstate.
and hopefully not get lost.
Hey, that was a great story. I appreciate that one.
Charles Goodhart, if anybody knows this guy or relatives, and I'm not even sure where he was from. I mean, all this happened around here, but I don't know. He might have been from Boise even.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tell you what, your homework assignment for next week is, I know you're going to go back and do this on the computer. Find out whatever happened to those three guys, would you please? Dr. History, God bless you. Excellent story this week.
Thank you, Zeb.
Thank you. Always look forward to Tuesdays.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.